Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. I love how our tree has bloomed. Amen. This is a very unusual thing that we would do this 2 weeks in a row. This is not going to be normal. This was just reserved for things special like this. It just happened that the two missionaries that we wanted to support came back to back. And so this is not a normal thing. And if you have not come prepared to give today and you want to give, you can give online to missions. And then for the next week, it will go to the WITS. Or you can, I don't know, we'll just get it to us somehow. We'll get it to them. Amen. I need to tell you something. I've never done this before, but I'm going to endorse the candidate, and I've never done that. And but I won't need to tell you a little bit about why, and it's nothing against another candidate. I think we have two candidates running for county mayor, and both of them, I think, are good men. But I am endorsing Jonathan Lodge, and it's not because Mary Lodge goes to this church. In 2007, the Lord brought us to Paris, and we started as a satellite church, and we stayed for 3.5 years, and then we left. And forever, I've had this question on my mind. Did those 3.5 years count? Did they count for anything, you know? And so one day this week, hadn't been thinking about that for a long time. One day I wake up this week and the Lord speaks this to me, and he said, the 3.5 years counted. I mean, just like that. I knew immediately what he was talking about. There was no question in my mind. See, in 2007, we came to Paris, Tennessee, and God didn't send us to start a church. That's what we did. But God sent us to a city and to pray for this city. And we have been praying for revival in this city, an awakening of spiritual things in this city. And we've been praying against the demonic strongholds that's over this city. And they're there. And so sometimes you wonder what's going on. But that's the reason that I'm endorsing Jonathan. In my spirit, and again, this is what I feel, not like the Lord has spoken to me, a direct word, but somehow I believe that he is connected to the awakening that's going to happen in Paris, Tennessee. I don't know how, but that's sort of what I'm feeling. So you vote for whoever the Lord tells you to. Okay, I mean that. If God puts somebody else, you vote that way. You pray about it and vote. But vote, okay? But that's like I said, I've never endorsed a candidate before, but I felt like I was supposed to do that this time. Has nothing to do that Mary Lodge is here. Matter of fact, it made it a little bit more awkward, right? But it is about, it's about the revival. Can I say one thing? I could care less about politics. I am all about what God is doing. That drives me more than food itself, guys. And you can see that I like to eat, right? Amen. I've got a sermon for you this morning that the Lord laid on my heart about a month ago. And we're in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 7 through 18. And I titled this, Stay on the Wall. Stay on the Wall. Some of you may not know this story very well, and that may not mean anything to you. But I want you to listen. Not what the preacher is saying, but listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today to this congregation. I have prayed so much about this sermon and about those that need to hear it being in the house. We want to thank people that are watching us online, and I pray that this ministers to you, and I pray that you receive it today. I pray that you'll be very introspective and let the Lord touch your heart, because I believe that you're listening for a reason. So in Nehemiah chapter 7, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 7, excuse my voice. It says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem was being restored and that the gaps were being beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. And Judah said, now Judah was one of them. And Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. There is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. Our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into the midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came and they told us 10 times. Did you catch that? They told us 10 times. From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men from the lower parts of the wall at the opening. And I set the people according to the families with their sword and their spear and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Ooh, isn't that wonderful? Can you say that with me? Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brother, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that our God had brought their plot to nothing. All of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. And so it was from the time on that half of my servants worked at the construction while the other half held the spears, the sword, the shields, the bows, and the armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. And those who built on the wall and those who carried the burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Father God, I come before you and I pray, Lord, with all my heart that the Spirit of God would have his perfect way in this service. God, I know that I know that I know that you want to break off some things in our life today. I know that the Spirit of God wants to refresh and bring a fullness of joy back into the house and back into your servants. God, I pray, Lord, use my voice, Lord, to speak to their hearts. But God, I pray the Spirit of God would come with power and might and just give us a determination, God, that we will not stop, God. We will complete the task that you have called us to do. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I heard a preacher say today as we was coming to work that the Lord, God bless you. I don't know what's wrong with my voice, but thank you. I don't normally do this. That the devil was full of TLC. And it was not tender, loving care, right? But he's full of temptation, lying, and condemnation. And if I could add another C, I would say criticism. Temptation, lying, and condemnation. The Lord has spoke to my heart so strong about this sermon. And there are two tools in Satan's handbag that he uses quite often. And that's discouragement and depression. He tries to get us in despair. You know, fear has torment, and fear will stop you in your tracks from what you're trying to do. Job said this, a man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Hallelujah. Is that not good news? A man born of woman, and all of us are, is a few days and full of trouble. When he was at his worst, his wife said, Job, just curse God and die. And all of us find fault with that woman because she said that. But I want you to know that woman was in deep grief. Every child she had just died. 10 children. She had lost, you know, we focus on Job, but his wife was there with him. Did she give him good advice? Absolutely not. But she said, just curse God. You know what I think she was saying? This is what I'm fixing to do. just curse God and I just want to die with my children. And folks, if you've ever lost a child, I think that that's probably would be what you would be thinking. God, I want to go to, right? Jesus said this. Let me finish that up. Job said this though. He said, yet he slay me, I will trust him. That's the thought that we need. See, life doesn't always work out the way we think it's going to, right? Sometimes we try and we try and we try, and it just seems like every time we try to move forward, we fail. Don't give up. Jesus said this, John 16:33, he said, in this world you'll have tribulation or you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And he's right with us. James says, oh, just count it all joy when you have diverse temptations. If James was here, I just want to slap him, right? Don't tell me that. Count it all joy when you go through various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. The word patience in the Greek is hupomeno, and it means staying power. Are you listening to me today? This is what I'm trying to tell the church right now. We need some hupomeno. We need some endurance. We need just to plant our feet and say, come hell or high water, I will not move from what he has called me to do. You know, life has a way of changing quickly. Very, very, just like that. And sometimes we give up when it seems like it's impossible. But what you don't know and what you cannot see is right next, right around the corner. Your victory is coming down. Your victory is right there. You just got to stay faithful. Psalms 11, verse 2 through 4. He says, look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on their string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. You ever felt like that? Are you understanding what I just read? The wicked, they've got their bow and arrow out. They've got it pulled back and they're pointed at you. The devil has got an arrow pointed right at you right now. He goes on, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know what I think the foundation is? I think the foundation is the family. I think the foundation is the church. Folks, if the church falls, what's this world gonna do? How are we gonna hear that Jesus is our Savior if we don't tell them? I'm trying with all my might to be calm. And I know it doesn't look it right now. He says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the Son of Man. The Lord is not moved by your temptation. The Lord is not moved by what you're going through. Are you hearing me? You may be moved. But the Lord, can I use a different word? The Lord is not scared. The Lord is not fearful of what you're going through. Why? Because he knows. Psalms 34:10 says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. Are you seeking the Lord? What we need is courage. I spoke to a group of little boys, or not little boys, but young men this week, and I talked to them about courage. Courage is the ability to act in obedience even when fear is present. Courage is the ability to act in obedience even when fear is present. If you look at this family here, they get up and they speak to you like they know everything that's going on. There's no worries in our life, and that's not true. Fear is present. fear. They don't know what's going to happen in the next year, but their eyes are upon Jesus. They know the calling of God. It's not up to them to determine the future. That's in God's hands. All we got to do is say yes and amen and let's go forward. Nehemiah listened to what was being said. He said this, they've made a plan. You know that many, many Christians think that planning is a lack of faith. Don't be stupid. God can work in your planning. Now I would say this, keep your plan fluid because God will change your plan. You know, sometimes we think about, you know, we read the scripture and said the enemy, Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and all these people, they were speaking against them. Hey, this is what we're going to do to you. A lot of times the voice of the enemy is coming at us and it's attacking us and it's trying to discourage us and trying to do that. But sometimes the discouragement comes from within the camp. Because Judah spoke up. He said, the strength of the laborers is failing. There's too much rubble. We cannot. Are you getting this? We can't do it, Pastor. Oh, the church is in a standstill. Pastor, you're in a rut. I'm not in a rut. Sorry about that. I know some of you are looking at me like, woo, boys. Somebody gives him a chill pill. Sometimes, maybe they're well-meaning, but it's people in the house. It's people in the family that want to tell you what you can't do. I remember being with my staff when I ran the Senior Citizen Center. And they kept telling me, we've tried that before, we tried that before, and it failed, we tried that before. I'm not like this, really, typically. I slapped my hand on the desk, and I said, shut up! I don't care what you tried before. We're going to do this. You know, in a few years, that senior citizen went from averaging 9 people a day to 150 people a day. You know why? Not because I'm such a great leader, not because I'm so smart, but when we had our name over the door and when I would walk in, I'd lift my hand, I'd say, God bless this place. Thank you for your enthusiasm. God did bless that place. It's still growing. Why? Because that seed is still in the ground. You don't realize that. You know, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Yes. I heard this week on the radio, when a lion roars, you can hear it from 5 miles away. Most of you probably don't know exactly where I live, but we live right off of the Paris Murray Road. You know where that's at? That the last dollar store. You know, we got dollar stores everywhere in this county. The last dollar store on 641, that's approximately 5 miles from where you're sitting. If a lion roared over there, we would be able to hear it. It's intimidating. See, the devil is as. He's not a lion. He's got a big roar. He comes to you often and tells you how you're going to be defeated, how you're not going to make it, how you're going to disappoint everybody in your life, that you're going to say this and you think you're a big shot. Well, it's not going to work out. You preach faith if you want to, but it won't work for you. I want you to know, tell the big mouth to shut up. Amen. We ain't listening. I love the story of Nehemiah because he's not just spiritual, he's practical. See, I really believe that. I think too many Christians get this pie in the sky, this faith thing going up, but they don't put practicality to it. Nehemiah, first of all, he prayed. First thing it says, Nehemiah prayed. Well, if you went back to the beginning of this chapter, Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king. And when he's serving the king, these men from Jerusalem come back and he said, tell me about my homeland. He said, oh, it's in bad shape. Our walls are tore down. If you didn't have walls, you were defenseless, right? As a city. He said, the walls are tore down. Anybody can come in and take what they want. And Nehemiah wept over that city and prayed over that city until God put a plan in his heart. And on the right time, at the right moment, he approached the king about it. So he knew what he was called to do. Oh, come on. Stay with me for a few more minutes. He knew what he was called to do. So when trouble came, and it will come, you go back to what God has called you to do. See, there's often times in your life, you're going to go back to the day when you gave Jesus your heart. See, everything else might be shaking around you, but you can go back to a moment in time when I know I met the Savior. I know He called me out. I know He spoke to my soul, and I know He put this calling in me. Maybe a lot of other things you don't know, right? But you can know that. So Nehemiah prayed, and then he developed a plan. Bible said he set a watch and he removed the rubble. Are you listening? It's time that the church removes the rubble. What's rubble? Garbage. Things that ought not be in your life that are. And you're thinking, I just don't know why I can't move forward. I don't know why things are not working. And you got hell all around you. You better step out of the gates of hell if you want to see the heaven open over your life. Am I making sense today? We need to take the garbage out, folks. He took the garbage out, but he set a watch. He told them, he said, I want some of you men to go to the lowest section of the wall. Why? It's the easiest to access. Let's protect that. He said, I want the trumpeter to come with me and I'll be walking around. And if we get attacked on this side, you'll hear the trumpet. And if you hear the trumpet, come running to that side. Come and help defend our city. He positioned men all through there. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27 says, don't give the devil a foothold. There's too many people in the church have opened the door to Satan. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. See, what you don't realize, the Lord spoke this to me in my office just this morning. Footholds become strongholds. And strongholds change the way you process things. Strongholds changes your thought processes. You're looking through the wrong paradigm. You're looking through eyes of defeat rather than eyes of victory. That God has not called us to defeat. God has called us to victory. He plainly states it. I lead through processions of victory. God does not want anyone to live in defeat. God's called us to rise up and fight. But I'm telling you, some of that is because you opened the door. You flirted with the enemy. You've been flirting with the things of Satan. You found them enticing. You found them a little joyful. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't know how you see this. A foothold to me, you remember the old, you've watched commercials where the encyclopedia salesman come to the door, right? He begins to talk to the person that answered the door, and she said, we're not interested. And she tries to close the door, and the salesman steps his foot inside the door. That's what the devil does. You see, you crack this door open, the door to evil, the door to promiscuity, the door to sexual sins and drugs and all different kinds of things. You open the door just a little bit, and when you want to close it, he steps his foot and says, not so quickly, baby. You see, what you've done, you've given me permission to be part of your life. Oh, come on. You got to hear that. I wasn't planning on saying that. When you opened that door, you gave Satan permission to your heart. What you did is you started attracting demonic spirits into your life. Shakespeare was the one that was talking about alcohol. He says, if we have no other name to call thee, let us call thee spirits.
That's right. Yeah.
And the church wants to debate, should we or should we not? Oh, get out of here. It has, there's nothing good with it. I don't need to be intoxicated by a drug when the Holy Spirit could intoxicate me. Are you? Some of you are thinking right now, I think he's had a little bit already. Nehemiah calmed their fears, reassured them that God was with them. He said, don't be afraid of them. Come on. Don't be afraid. Can I speak that to you? I don't care what's going on right now. I don't care what your future looks like. I don't care what your bank account is saying to you. You hear the Spirit of the Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and he will fight. And though you fight for your families. Some of you that are as old as I am, maybe a little older, you may be thinking, well, what am I to do? I don't have the energy to act like a young man anymore. I don't have that. Fight for your family. How many prodigals do you have in your life right now? Don't give up on your kids. And he kept them close in community. He kept them in the town. He said, I want you to move in here. See, what the devil does is he tries to get us isolated. He tries to get us separated from the pack. You ever watch National Geographic? You know, here all the antelope are running this way, and the tiger's over here, and there's one little dingling over here just still grazing, just like, oh, I wonder what's going on today. And that lion saying, that's my man right there. That's lunch right there. And he does the same thing for Christians. See, the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourself together. I don't think he's just talking about going to church. I think he's saying you better live in community. We need each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is not the day to be lax in coming to the house of God. You need the house of refreshing. You need the hospital of the Spirit. He armed them. This is my favorite part of the scripture. He says, put a trowel in this hand, but have a sword in this hand. What is our sword? It's the word of God. Don't drop your sword, Christian. Keep the sword close, but keep the trowel busy. In other words, don't stop working. Let's keep working for the kingdom. I've often heard all my life that we're only one generation away from extinction. You know, we heard a little bit today about Europe. You know that America's headed down that same road, right? Study history, guys. Let's not repeat it. We're just one generation from being just. They're godless. They're godless. I'm not talking bad about them. I'm saying this is who they are right now. They need a voice of a preacher. They need to know that there is a God in heaven who loves them and will restore. They don't need more religion. They need Jesus. Same as us. With one hand, they held a sword, but the other, they had an instrument to work. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12 says, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles." That word wiles is schemes. It's the word that we would get schematics for. You know, I just told you it's all right for you to have a plan. You know why it's all right for you to have a plan? Because the devil has a plan. The devil has wrote up a schematic on how to destroy Carol. He knows you. And he says, "Now if I do this and this and this, I can discourage her so bad, maybe she'll throw her faith down." See, he does that for every one of us. He's got the wiles is the schematic drawing on how to destroy you. Who can I send? What demon can I send into their household? Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. We don't walk in fear to the devil, not when the power of resurrection is within us. Y'all are making me work for it today, aren't you? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Not only is there a plan and a strategy, but he's got his whole army laid out. If they get past this little level, then they got to come up against this level. If they get past that one, I've got another level of demonic power. If you don't believe this, read Daniel. I believe it's chapter 6. He explains this so well. The prince of the power of Persia, right? So if you think that stopped in the Old Testament, I'm so sorry. Don't be nonsensical. How do we overcome? We don't lose just by having a bad day. We don't lose when it looks like hell is winning. We lose when we give up. See, that's the only way a Christian can lose is when you throw in the towel. As long as you stay in there, stay determined, I will not give up. We are on the winning side. Are you hearing me? Galatians 6:9 says this, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." That tells me a couple things. Number one, we need to be doing good. It's what the God is. A lot of people don't understand how good the church has been to America. Do you know that most hospitals, most universities was started by the church? Don't listen to the nonsense that they're telling us that they don't need the church. The church has been nothing but a blessing to America. And will continue to be so in the end times. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. I don't know if you came in here today hanging on a string. Oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I do. We're going to break the power of death, sin, and darkness over you today. Despair, depression, it's got to go. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Hebrews 10 says this, "You have need of endurance, hupomeno. You have need of staying power, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come." Hallelujah. That's Jesus. "And will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Can I paraphrase that just a little bit? If any Christian stops, if any Christian lays down your faith, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Are you getting that? That's not who we are. Well, who are we then? We are those who believe to the saving of the soul. Being confident of this. Come on. Being confident of this. That he who began a good work in me in about 1967 or 1968, a good work was started in me. He will complete it. You may not always feel victorious. Everything may not be working for you right now. And sometimes we think, well, the devil's like this. He plants these thoughts in our minds of defeat. He plants these thoughts and he says this to you. It will never get any better than this. He's like a broken record. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you try. You're not going to overcome this. And the Lord is saying, yes, you can win. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. He will complete it. Are you hearing me? He will complete it. Until the day of Jesus Christ. We've been debating a lot. Shall we go back to two services? Shall we stay at one? I know the church loves one. I know you love one. I'm so sorry you're wrong. As long as I'm in this church, we will never say no to a soul that wants to get right with God. And if that means our being a little uncomfortable, we will be uncomfortable to keep the doors open for people that want to get their heart right with God. For us not to go back to two services is basically saying we don't care about what's happening out there. We're satisfied. You hear me? Are you listening to me? The song in my heart is not "Hold the Fort." For the Lord is coming. When I was a little kid, we got up and we sang that song. And the pastor stood up right after that. He said, turn back to that page, hold the fort. He said, reach up with your hand and grab the corner of that page and rip that out of your songbook. He said, we ain't holding the fort. Are you hearing me? Bridge of Hope has not been called to come to Paris to hold the fort. We've been called to onward Christian soldier. Come on, folks. Onward Christian soldier. We got to win the lost. There's no retreat sound coming. Are you hearing me? The next trumpet you hear may be Jesus splitting the sky. And it is not a trumpet of retreat. It is the trumpet of charge. Go get them, Tiger. Come on. I hope this is getting in your spirit. We turn our eyes inward so much that we get depressed and we get dissatisfied and the Lord says, quit looking inward. Look outward. Look at those fields. They're white in the harvest. Will I say no to your daughter? Will I say no to your son? I will not. We're going to keep the doors open. We're going to keep preaching the gospel. We're going to keep preaching Jesus. Let's win one more before Jesus comes. Are you here? That's in my heart. Not time to get discouraged. Could I be? Last Tuesday night after the men's, how did I know all this was going on? Because it hit me. That depression, that despair. I got home at 7:30. Treva said, "What do you want for dinner?" I said, "I don't want to eat." "You know something's wrong when this boy don't want to eat." I said, "I don't want to eat." 7:30, I said, "I'm thinking about going to bed." She said, "Oh, no, you're not." My wife has this rule. You don't go to bed that early in this house. You're going to sit up and talk to me a little while. She never runs out of words. Are you hearing me? I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. If you don't think discouragement comes to me, you're missing it. I'm telling you, I listen to your stories. I love you so much. I know you don't get this, but I love you like you're my own kids. And when I hear you, it hurts me. And Tuesday night, I'd heard all I needed to hear. I'm just ready to go to bed. And then I preached this sermon to myself. I ain't giving up, folks. I'm not giving up. I'm not even slowing down. Say, "Pastor, you're 65. You got to slow down." No, no, don't you tell me that. God will bless. I'm renewed like the eagle. Ooh, come on, baby. I'm getting stronger. I've actually got a little common sense now that I'm older. And you may disagree with that. Would you stand with me? When the Lord gives you a sermon like this, it's because he's addressing some things in your life, in my life. I know what I've been feeling, and I'm so thankful. I don't walk by feelings. I walk by faith. Could you just close your eyes for a second? Would everybody please close your eyes? Would you raise your hand if you say, "Pastor, I need despair. I need discouragement and depression broke off my life." Would you just raise your hand? Ain't nobody going to see but me and the Lord. Folks, I wish you could see. There's hands all over this congregation right now. They're not raising their hand to me. They're raising their hand to Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God, who is making intercession for you right now. I believe with all my heart, God wants to break that spirit off of you right now. Put your hand down. If you would like to come forward, just as a step of faith, you can walk right up to the front. You can kneel, you can stand. It's just your act of faith. It's not anything else. It's just your act of faith. And we're going to pray over everyone. We're going to believe today that the Spirit of God is fixing to break loose some things that the devil has tried to attach to you. I'm not saying you're demon possessed. I'm saying that there's spirits that want to attach to us, and they're not of God. Can we pray? Father God, I come before you right now. Lord, you saw the hands of those that raised their hand and said, "I am fighting that battle, Pastor. I'm right with you in that trench. I know what you feel because I feel it every day. All I want to do is sleep. All I want to do is go to bed and cover my head. I need help. I need the refuge to come in to be my strong tower. I need the strength of the Almighty God right now to break it off of me. I pray, God, right now, may the power of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection power of God, break off these things off our life. God, I speak healing over those that are suffering depression. God, we pray for physical illness all the time. But God, I pray for this emotional thing. I pray, God, if they need the help of a doctor, Lord, that you would send them to the right person. But God, I know that you are a supernatural God. I know that you can even heal the chemical imbalance of our brain. God, heal it right now. Touch them, Lord Jesus. We call upon heaven. The poor man cried to God, and he delivered him from all of his trouble. God, set us free that we may serve you wholeheartedly. I pray right now, God, that everyone that raised their hand would make this determination. I will not give up. I will not give up. I'm going all the way with Christ. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God, I pray for that power to be applied to our hearts and lives. In the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.
I have decided to
Father, I pray for my brother Joel. God, I know he's been going through some difficulty. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now, set this mind at peace with you, God. Do a work in his heart. Lord, let him feel the joy of his salvation, the fellowship of the Spirit of God once again, Lord. I know it's not about feelings, but Lord, he needs to know that you are with him, that you see every battle that he's going through. God, fill him up with joy. Let him feel the fullness of the Spirit today in Jesus' name. Touch my brother.
Hallelujah. Not so much of a
follow. Come on, let's sing it.
None go with me, still I will follow.
Amen. Don't forget, visit the Wits table out there on your way out. Wonderful, wonderful people. If you don't know them already, get to know them and get to see the work God has planned for them to do. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken, go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.